today, the 115th Congress was sworn into service. Republicans have control of the House, Senate, and the executive branch, and they have what some have called the most sweeping conservative agenda in decades. But Republicans are still arguing about some of the high-profile issues likely to come up this session, including how to replace Obamacare and how aggressively to investigate Russian hacking in the presidential election. Amanda Turkle joins us now to talk about the agenda for this new Congress. She's a senior political reporter and politics managing editor for Huffington Post. Amanda, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, earlier today, we spoke to Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, getting his reaction to House Republicans' now scrapped plan to dismantle the Independent Office of Congressional Ethics. And Amanda, what is your reaction to that story?
Well, it's sort of amazing, I think, how much the House Republicans screwed up their first day of what should have been a triumphant return to Congress, when they're going to have control of both chambers and soon they'll have a president of their own party in the White House. Usually the first day of Congress is sort of a friendly, fun affair. You have the vice president swearing in the members and chatting with the families. You have new members sort of getting lost as they try to find their way around the Hill. It's just sort of a day for a lighter fare. But for Republicans, today was dominated by this talk about how they were trying to gut this independent watchdog that investigates Congress. And, Republicans decided not to do that, and they admitted that they were shamed publicly. They said they got a lot of calls to their offices telling them not to do that. They didn't like the media attention, and even Donald Trump tweeted, about why were they doing this on the first day of Congress. So for now, they're not doing it, but it was a bad first day for them.
So with that bad first day there, what is next for this Congress?
Well, I didn't expect this to be first, but they have said that, basically Republicans have a laundry list of things they've been promising their base that they would do. And now I think you will see GOP voters hold them accountable. You guys have been promising to repeal Obamacare, to repeal regulations, to do tax reform. You've been promising to do all this, and you've been using Obama as an excuse. So now that he'll be gone and Trump will be in office, are you actually going to do this? And obviously, making promises and having all that rhetoric is a lot easier than coming up with specifics and getting legislation through Congress.
Do we know what is at the top of the agenda for Republicans? This one today was a surprise, the move last night, but based on what we know, what are some things that Republicans want to accomplish quickly and might be maybe more low-hanging fruit for them?
Well, I think you'll see Republicans try to get Trump to roll back some of President Obama's executive actions. And, there have been a lot that he has sort of promised to do, but we don't exactly know where he will go first, but there are ones on immigration, for example, making it easier for some undocumented immigrants to stay in this country. There are environmental regulations that Republicans would like to see Trump roll back, and a lot of those can be done pretty easily. So I think that's where they would like to see the executive branch start. Republicans have to move very quickly on repealing Obamacare, because that has been something they've been running on for years and years and years. But, again, the problem is, if you decide to repeal parts of Obamacare, what are you going to do with the people who rely on it for their health coverage? And Republicans have still not put out a detailed, comprehensive legislative package to replace Obamacare that sort of does all the good things that people like and they say they want to keep, like letting young people stay on their insurance, making sure people aren't discriminated against for pre-existing conditions. But how do you balance that with actually providing incentives for insurers to offer those things?
Right. So given that, do you think that repealing Obamacare could be something that happens further down the road?
Potentially, yes. I think that you could see some sort of, again, sort of ceremonial thing in repealing it. But in terms of actually replacing it, that is not going to be something that happens for a very long time, and Republicans are starting to acknowledge that. You're also going to see resistance from some states that have Republican governors who have expanded Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. And if Republicans repeal Obamacare, the states will be suddenly left with this problem of what to do with all these people who don't have insurance. And so Republicans are getting some pushback from governors within their own party as well. So obviously there are a lot of details. That's why, you know, the first time when this passed, when the Affordable Care Act passed, this was so complicated. You know, you heard so many complaints about how people couldn't read the whole bill, how it was so long. And that's because this is very, very complicated, and Republicans still haven't worked out those details, and they're now sort of realizing that they're going to have to.
We're talking with Amanda Turkle right now, senior political reporter and politics managing editor for The Huffington Post, taking a look at the agenda for the Republican-led 115th Congress. And one issue that has caused division in the Republican Party is a possible investigation into the Russian cyber attacks during the presidential race. What are the sticking points there?
Well, one sticking point is, I mean, honestly, just how seriously to take this, because you have the president-elect, Donald Trump, saying, you know, we should all really just move on. Computers make our lives complicated. That's the real problem. It's not the Russians. And we'll never really know who hacked into the computers or if there was hacking, so we should just move on. That's Donald Trump's position. There are a few lawmakers who, you know, are Trump allies who support that, but the vast majority of lawmakers say they do believe that this should be investigated. This is a problem. One of the sticking points is where this should be investigated. Some lawmakers, including some Republicans and Democrats, want a new sort of independent panel, a special panel convened in Congress so that they can look at this. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wants this to go through the Intelligence Committee as normal. So sort of who looks at this and how it's done is going to be something that still needs to be worked out. But I think there will be enough Democrats and Republicans who continue to make this an issue so that it doesn't go away.
Does it look likely that there could be friction between Congress and President-elect Donald Trump over this? As you pointed out earlier, he's got a different perspective on these alleged cyber attacks, whereas Congress, you know, with an investigation, wants to know more. So might we see some friction there?
Absolutely. I think you definitely will. You've already seen this a little bit with Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican from South Carolina, who's obviously very outspoken. He's a big critic of Russia, and he's also been a big critic of Donald Trump. And he's been speaking out quite a bit, saying that this is absolutely something that needs to be investigated. And he and his good friend, Senator John McCain from Arizona, I think will both continue to make sure that this is an issue. And they certainly don't mind angering Trump.
Now, the Senate is going to start hearings on President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees. What do you think will be first on the table there?
Well, I think that one person who will get through probably pretty quickly is Jeff Sessions, Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, who is Donald Trump's pick to be Attorney General. He's a member of the chamber. He has a lot of friends in Congress, obviously, and everyone is expecting pretty easy confirmation for him. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to necessarily be pretty. He was denied a federal judgeship decades ago because of sort of racist comments he made, quite honestly. And he, you know, managed to get into the Senate and now is nominated to be Attorney General. But his nomination troubles many, many people, many Democrats, many civil rights advocates. And so Democrats, I think, will be speaking out very strongly against him, but I don't think that will necessarily be enough to doom his nomination, because these nominees need only 51 votes, a majority, to pass because of rule changes that were put in place by Democrats. So 51, you know, Republicans have the majority, so it looks like people like Sessions will probably get through.
And as you said, you know, there is a possibility for Democratic opposition. Are there any that you think Democrats could pick up some opposition support from Republicans? Are there any these Trump picks that could have the possibility of being blocked with that in mind?
Well, the one that's been causing the most problems so far for Trump is Rex Tillerson, the Exxon CEO, who is Trump's pick to be Secretary of State. He has made, you know, sort of friendly comments about Russia, and that is something that concerns some senators, again, people like Lindsey Graham. And we've seen people like Senator, you know, Senator Rand Paul, for example, say that if he is going to, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Lindsey Graham, they've been basically saying that they want to see where he stands, Rex Tillerson stands, on sanctions on Russia, on cybersecurity, on issues like that, before they support him. And so, you know, their votes could be consequential because Trump basically needs every Republican he can get to get these nominees through.
We're talking right now about the agenda for the 115th Congress with Amanda Turkel of the Huffington Post. And we're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see Congress tackle first? What priorities should be first? And what did you think of the House Republican plans to target the independent ethics panel? Are you glad that House Republicans decided to reverse that plan that happened earlier today? You can call us now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion right now about the agenda for the new Congress with Amanda Turkel, a political reporter for the Huffington Post. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What priorities do you think this Congress should have? What issues would you like to see lawmakers tackle in the next maybe couple of years? And what are your hopes for the 115th Congress? You can call us now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's talk about Congressman Paul Ryan now, Amanda. He's from Wisconsin, and he easily won his reelection as House Speaker. What do you think about how his relationship might evolve with Donald Trump?
Well, they're going to have to work together a bit more. We saw sort of a tortured relationship during the campaign where Paul Ryan was reluctant to embrace Trump, but eventually did, although he didn't embrace him that much. But they need to work together if they're going to get things done. That doesn't mean that Paul Ryan will enjoy it necessarily. He and Donald Trump are not the same type of Republican. But Paul Ryan will also be under a lot of pressure to condemn Trump, as you saw when Donald Trump made offensive comments about women, for example. There was a lot of pressure on Paul Ryan. He should come out. He should say something. He should disavow Trump. And he's going to have to be dealing not only with Trump, but with the many sort of factions of his caucus who don't always agree. So it's a tough job, and you saw this today with the Office of Congressional Ethics. GOP leadership said that they did not want to go forward with changing the office on the first day of the session, but it was something that their caucus wanted to do. Nevertheless, Paul Ryan put out a statement in support of it, and then a little while later, the caucus unanimously agreed to hold on this for now and not to go forward with it. So, you know, the GOP, yes, they won the election, but it isn't by far from a unified party, and Paul Ryan's sort of at the center of that and trying to manage it.
Right, and there is, as you said, pressure on congressional Republicans to do things, to pass legislation. There has been a lot of gridlock in Washington for the past 8 years and beyond in some respects, too. So do you think that there is the will among Republicans to act in cohesion, or are they still these competing strands within the Republican Party, including those which may have been more or less supportive of Donald Trump when it comes to actually passing things and getting things done?
Oh, there are absolutely competing factions still. I mean, even Donald Trump, what he wants isn't necessarily always in line with what Republicans want to do, and what the House wants to do isn't always in line with what the Senate wants to do, for example. You know, Donald Trump talks about sort of infrastructure spending, but a little bit less on how to pay for it, example. And, you know, Republicans for years have been talking about deficits, and they need to keep deficits down, and they don't want to do too much spending. I mean, these are all things that will conflict with each other. And Republicans, you know, I think the leadership recognizes that they need to get things done. They have the power. They need to finally live up to the rhetoric they've been putting forward so many years when they've been blaming the gridlock on Democrats and Obama. You know, Obama's out of the way. Democrats are largely out of the way, so now it's their turn. But, you know, not every member of their party wants to do that. Many members of their party are, you know, sort of much more purists, and I think will take stands against that and maybe politically unpopular stands that will put their leadership into a corner. So it's definitely not smooth sailing for Republicans.
The Tea Party was a force in the last 8 years. How strong is that particular strand of the GOP right now?
think the Tea Party has changed a little bit. You've seen, you know, you see less talk about the Tea Party. You see fewer Tea Party rallies. Now they've sort of evolved into these Trump voters, these people who were sort of had, you know, sort of, and the way they started, sort of a populist strain. They were mad about the bailout of Wall Street. They're mad about sort of the rich getting richer. And you've seen that sort of sentiment transfer over to people who like Donald Trump and liked his rhetoric, even though, you know, he's obviously very wealthy and has filled his cabinet with billionaires.
We're talking to Amanda Turgle right now, senior political reporter, politics managing editor for the Huffington Post. And we're talking about the agenda for the 115th Congress. And let's take a caller now. We've got Andrew with us in Eau Claire. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I believe Congress should legalize cannabis and or remove it as a Schedule I drug, which would allow states to more easily legalize it, which, as we all know, saves tax dollars, keeps nonviolent offenders out of prison. I believe it's an issue that's important to Democrats. It's an issue that's important to Republicans. And it really does affect people on a day-to-day basis. I think it's very important for this country moving forward, socially speaking. And I just want to say thank you for taking my call, and I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Andrew, thanks for that. And legalization of marijuana has been picking up steam nationally. So, Amanda, where does it stand right now, do you think, with Congress and with President-elect Trump?
Well, it's definitely been picking up steam in the states, and I don't think we'll see much movement in Congress on this, and you certainly won't see a lot in the Trump administration. I mean, with Jeff Sessions, if he gets confirmed as Attorney General, he has long been antagonistic toward legalizing marijuana. I mean, you know, when he was denied his federal judgeship, it was part of the comments he made in the 1980s was that he thought the KKK was okay until he found out that they smoked pot. Obviously, we've come a long way since the 1980s, but, you know, he's called marijuana reform a tragic mistake. He's gone after the Obama administration for not cracking down enough on this. So I don't think you will see much movement from the Trump administration on this, and you should be watching the states for what they do instead.
Looking at the office of the vice president now, what role do you think Mike Pence is going to play, maybe as a liaison between Donald Trump and Congress?
He'll play a pivotal role there. He's expected to be on the Hill all the time, attending Republican caucus meetings. And, I mean, he was in Congress. He knows how Congress works. He's very well-liked there. And he's well-liked by people who don't necessarily like Donald Trump, the establishment Republicans in Washington and particularly in Congress. I mean, he's very socially conservative in areas where Donald Trump hasn't always been. He, you know, led the fight to try to defund Planned Parenthood. He's long been an opponent of LGBT rights. He's very outspoken on all this, and he was as governor of Indiana. And Republicans just like him. You know, he's a nice, friendly guy. They feel like they can work with him. They feel like they know where he's coming from. And so I think he will be the main liaison between Donald Trump and Congress.
Now, you were there today as we've had the 115th Congress sworn in, and we've been talking this half hour about there being a sea change. The executive branch, Congress, both chambers controlled by Republicans. Does it feel different there on the Hill today?
Well, I was actually not on the Hill. I am in Washington, but I was not on the Hill today. But all of Washington feels different. I mean, you have, you know, everything getting ready for the inauguration. You have Democrats sort of transitioning out of their jobs. You have all the new Republicans in town on the Hill and whatnot. And absolutely, I mean, things feel incredibly different. It's, you know, it's exciting. I think Republicans are all very exciting and very optimistic. Again, this was not how they wanted to begin the first day of the new session. But there's still, again, this excitement that we finally have control. We finally have the power. Now, what are we going to do with it? And that, I think, makes some Republicans a bit nervous, perhaps ones who know how unwieldy the caucus is. But they're excited. You know, they can introduce legislation now. They have a better chance of getting it passed. And now it's just sort of waiting for Obama to leave office and for Trump to take over.
Let's take a quick call here. We've got Jesse with us in Shell Lake. Hi, Jesse.
Hello. I just wanted to say I hope that Congress really starts to focus their new agenda with the Affordable Care Act and reworking that to make it better, take some things that are good from what President Obama did and fix the bad things, and then also start working towards some economic growth, because I think nothing would be better for our country moving forward in the upcoming months than some stimulation of the economy. And then I did just want to comment on the last caller's comment, Andrews, that I just think we have a little bigger fish to fry right now than worrying about the legalization of marijuana.
Jesse, thank you for that call. And Amanda, as we wrap up, what do you say to Jesse?
Well, I think that, you know, in terms of economic growth, that's basically what that was a big part of Trump's plan. You know, I know how to get things done. I build things. Vote for me. And one way that Republicans want to do that is through tax reform, tax breaks across the board, tax breaks for businesses. But again, there's a lot of disagreement between the House and the Senate right now on what exactly that will look like, how you offset that so it doesn't affect the deficit by trillions of dollars, and what exactly the timeline looks like in terms of repealing Obamacare. I mean, there are many good things about Obamacare that even Republicans say they like. Those very popular provisions, for example, not getting kicked off when you're a young adult on your parents' health insurance and the pre-existing conditions. But you can't just keep the good things. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Democrats wanted to do that, too. But part of the reason is you need to compromise and get insurers bought in.
And we have to leave it there. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. That was Amanda Turkle, senior political reporter and politics managing editor for The Huffington Post.